Wisconsin's 87th Assembly District is one of the largest geographic districts in the state, ranging from the Marathon County town of Rib Falls just outside Marathon City, more than 100 miles northwest to Hayward. It's a very rural district. Its largest city, Medford, with a population of around 5,000, is home to the current state representative, Mary Williams, a Republican who has held the seat for a dozen years. She's not seeking a seventh term, making the 87th a race to watch statewide. I'm Rich Kramer, and we'll spend the next hour talking to both candidates in a special Wisconsin Public Radio election forum. We're bringing this forum to audience on WPR stations in both North Central Wisconsin, which would normally hear Route 51 with Glenn Moberg at this time, and in West Central Wisconsin, where Al Ross and Spectrum West have the week off. The 87th District includes all of Rusk and Taylor counties, most of Sawyer County, part of northeastern Marathon County, and part of northwestern Clark County. Let's meet the candidates. First, I'll introduce James Jimmy Boy Edming. He's a Glen Flora businessman and is running as a Republican. James, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
It's our pleasure to have you. Next, I'd like to welcome the Democrat in the race, Richard Pulcher of Lublin, is running as a Democrat. He's a maintenance worker at a nursing home and a volunteer firefighter. Richard Pulcher, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. I retired from being a maintenance worker.
Okay, retired. Thank you so much for that. Listeners, we want you to give us a call and be part of this discussion as well. No matter where you are, if you can hear us, you can call in. 800-228-5615 is the number to call. You can ask the questions you can ask the candidates a direct question or give them a comment. 800-228-5615. So first off, I think we should get through the why question, the big why. And I'll start with you, Richard Pulcher. State Representative Mary Williams has held this seat for 12 years, but now she's going to be replaced by a relative newcomer to state politics. What can you bring to the legislature in the 87th District, and what makes you think you're up for the job?
Well, to begin with, being up for the job is a matter for the voters to decide. What I would like to bring is my educational background in economics and also my work background. I was 19 years a union steward, Teamsters Local 662. In that, I understand some of the problems that small businesses have to go through, and I understand that workers need a living wage.
All right, thank you for that. And James Jimmy Boy Edming, what are you going to be able to bring to the table as representative for the 87th State Assembly, and what makes you think you're prepared to represent this district?
Well, what I bring to the assembly is my past business record. I have been self-employed for 42 years. I've had to live within a budget, to live within my means. It's you have to have legislators that have had experience in business to know how to run a business. And for 42 years, I have signed the front side of checks more than I have the back side of checks. And when there wasn't enough money to make something happen, we had to make a change in the middle of the stream, and that's exactly what the state of Wisconsin has to do.
A reminder to our listeners, this is the 87th Assembly District Candidate Forum on Wisconsin Public Radio. You can call in and ask the candidates questions, 800-228-5615. I want to ask about unemployment. Overall, the state has an unemployment rate that's below 6%. I believe it's 5.7 right now. But Sawyer and Rusk counties have some of the highest unemployment rates in the state, just more than 8% in Sawyer County and around 7% in Rusk. What can a state politician from the 87th do to improve the jobs outlook in their own region? And Jimmy Boyle, start with you.
Well, first off, that's kind of an ironic scenario. But anyway, if you go from business to business, travel down the road, you will see signs in front of literally every business that says help wanted. And the amazing part is everybody's looking for business. Nobody can find a job. And I think that's something that we as legislators have to really take a look at. But part of the reason the unemployment rate is as high as it is, is because there's so much government regulations. The Walker administration has taken care of a lot of the hurdles that a business individual has to go through and to climb over to make a business. But I'm just appalled at the fact that the unemployment rate is so high and yet you can't hire anybody.
All right, Richard Pulcher, what say you about the unemployment rates in some of the counties within the 87th District, and what can one person do in a legislature and assembly with 99 people?
Well, first of all, we have to look at the laws, because that's what legislators do, is they look at the laws. Since up until 1980, our banking laws favored and promoted local banks working in local communities. And that has steadily eroded. What we need to do is we need to promote local banking, and we need to promote loans to small businesses and other and residents of our local communities. The banking establishment has repealed Glass-Steagall. Mm-hmm. Which meant that banks no longer have to choose between being an investment bank or a commercial bank. So now commercial banks, or what were formerly commercial banks, can make stock investments. Now, this is how money is created on the federal level. So they're draining money from our local communities and putting it into the stock market. And the FDIC will bail out banks that fail due to their risky investments. This means that Wall Street is basically getting funded through our banking system, while Main Street is being left hanging out to dry.
These sound like federal issues, though. I mean, is there anything that a legislature, that the state legislature, I should say, can do to, say, you know, kind of repair some of the things that you say might have been broken by the repeal of Glass-Steagall?
What we need to do is understand that this is the situation, this is the legal situation that Wisconsin is in. One of the things that is on the Democratic platform is to look into the creation of a state bank similar to the state bank in North Dakota. The state bank in North Dakota works with local lending institutions to promote small businesses and to promote lending in local communities.
And James Edming, what are your thoughts on a state bank as kind of emulating what's happening in North Dakota? And also, what are your thoughts on the repeal of Glass-Steagall with regards to banking?
Well, I think that goes much deeper than what you look at the beginning of it. The system is there. The system was put together. It's been there for years and years and years. And as a legislator from the 87th Assembly District, as far as trying to tackle this federal banking system, I'd have to be a pretty good man to be able to jump in and think I could straighten that out.
We've got our first caller of the hour. A reminder to our listeners, this is the 87th State Assembly Candidate Forum. It's a special election feature on Wisconsin Public Radio. You're hearing it in West Central Wisconsin and in North Central Wisconsin as well, on stations in Wausau and Eau Claire. The number to call in is 1-800-228-5615. We've got the candidates running for the 87th. They are James Jimmy Boy Edming. He's a Republican from Glen Flora, and Richard Pulcher is a Democrat from Lublin. 800-228-5615. Now we go to John in Ladysmith. John, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Hi. Jimmy Boy was right. I actually live a mile from where he lives, but you take the Ladysmith News, and I'm sure he reads it because it's full of jobs. The problem is, these jobs don't pay anything. Our community is full of people that are on the programs that the government offer, and I see these people every day because I got a job volunteering where I see these people every day, and they can't get a job because at this job, there's no benefit. They stay on these government programs because they can go to the doctor, they go to the dentist, they go to the grocery store. Everything is paid for, and they got the whole day off to do nothing. And so why would you go get a job that offers you little or probably no benefits at all and a wage that you can hardly live on? Just a comment on that.
Yeah. All right. John, thanks so much.
By the way, Jimmy Boy is my boy.
Okay. Thanks so much, John. So what about that? There's been a lot of investment in say, worker training. There's a lot of talk about a skills gap. And Richard Pulcher, do you think that more investment should be made by the state into trying to get people trained in, say, welding or what have you? I mean, that's a push that Governor Walker is making right now.
I have no problem with that. Because what we need is we need people who can borrow money, form a business, work for a business, who have skills that we need here in our rural areas. It does not take a great person to see that our rural areas are losing its children. And we need to promote opportunities right here in District 87 for the children of District 87.
And James Edming, John says you're his boy, but the skills gap, what can be done beyond what's already being done by the governor and some in the legislature to address the skills gap? I mean, short of going door to door and pushing people into the classroom.
I think John is right. We have a business in Glenflor, Artisan Screen Printing. Huge company. And I was talking to Gordy here the other night. They run an ad in the newspaper. They were looking for someone. I don't know what position it was, but they were looking for someone to fill this gap. And artisans they don't pay no $60 an hour, but I mean, it's a very respectable job. They've got some benefits. They never got one application. But it's like John said, it's much easier and it's much handier to just stay at home and be able to fish all day long and whatever. They may not like this. And if you're looking for a job, it's like my youngest boy, Bradley. I mean, he's an iron worker right now and he's tired of beating it. You've got a company up in Prentice in Price County, Caterpillar. Awesome place to work. You've got the paper mill in Ladysmith. You've got Weathershield in Ladysmith. There's and matter of fact, Weathershield and Ladysmith to try to look for a job, and that's a decent paying job. They have to put signs out on the highway, out on the corner of Highway 8 on top of the bridge there. Weathershield looking for work. They'll get people that'll come to work and they'll work for they miss 2 days a week. You know, how can you run a business and have that kind of employees? People have to have more of a gut feeling and they have to want to get ahead on their own. It's not a matter of what legislators can do. It's they have to have the desire.
So is one opportunity or one opportunity to kind of light that fire in people cutting back on unemployment benefits or benefits for people that are in poverty?
Well, I and Rich and I were talking about this earlier. I mean, everybody's born with 60 seconds in a minute and 60 minutes in an hour and 24 hours in a day. It's what you do with that is what you want to do. And a lot of people would like to start a business, but there again, it goes back to my original part where there's so many obstacles in the way that it's really tough to get a business going today. But, you know, and that's what I'm going to bring, to the table is entrepreneurs that are looking for to start a business so they can get out of this spot that they're in. I mean, I started Jimmy Boy Pizza with absolutely, basically nothing. I think when I started Edming Oil Company, I believe we had, like two singles, a five, a couple pennies, and a nickel, and a couple quarters is what we started that business on. But the way the present laws are, you couldn't start a convenience store like that, and that has to be changed.
Richard Pulcher, what about the idea that you know the benefits for things like unemployment insurance or now the Affordable Care Act, that it's too good to work? Do you buy that argument?
Well, I don't think we can let people die on the street. However, people should be able to afford medical care. I know my parents never had health insurance. They just paid the doctors. But you can't afford to pay a doctor bill right now. And businesses really can't afford health insurance. I worked as a union steward at a company in Owen. And every year, the health insurance went up. This was a real burden on the company. But still, people wanted to have the health insurance. The biggest thing, and I agree with James Edming on this, is it's hard to start a business. And what you need is you need local banking. Up until 1980, local banks were protected and promoted by our laws. The laws changed. They started promoting bigger banks and then bigger banks. And now we are stuck with a situation where banks are too big to fail. Our local community in Lublin used to have a state bank of Lublin. And the people of Lublin put their money in the bank, and the people of Lublin borrowed the money from the bank. It was a bank that was built on relationships. Well, now the people in Lublin bank in several banks that really don't care about the village. And anyone who wants to borrow money is going to borrow it from somebody who doesn't care about the village either. And what we need to do is we need to look at building our local communities from the bottom up.
With that, let's take our first break. I'm Rich Kramer. This is a WPR election special, a forum featuring the candidates running for assembly in Wisconsin's 87th district, which includes Taylor and Rusk counties, most of Sawyer County, and portions of Marathon and Clark counties. We're joined by Democrat Richard Pulcher of Lublin, and Republican James Edming of Glen Flora. Call in with your questions for the candidates. 800-228-5615 is the number. That's 1-800-228-5615. We've got wide open phone lines. We'll be right back with more of the forum and some discussion on a recent court decision related to voter ID in Wisconsin. Spectrum West will be back next week on WHWC and WRFW, and Glenn Moberg returns with Route 51 next Thursday at this time on WLBL, WHBM, WHSF, and WHAA. I'm Rich Kramer, and we're spending this hour with the 87th Assembly District candidates, James Edming, a Republican from Glen Flora, and Richard Pulcher, a Democrat from Lublin. The number to call in is 800-228-5615. We've got open phone lines right now. I'd like to speak about some recent news related to voter ID. The federal Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals recently reinstated, or basically lifted an injunction on Wisconsin's voter ID law. And now it looks like it's going to be in effect for the November general election. Local clerks have voiced some concerns about costs and consequences to try to train poll workers and resending absentee ballots. I will start with Richard Pulcher. Do you support the state's voter ID law, and do you think it was right for the court to reinstate it this close to the election?
I'm not going to comment on the rightness or wrongness of the court's decision.
Okay.
That's a court decision, not a legislative decision. However, the voter ID law seemed to be a law that really didn't answer any problems. Most of the voters who had voted it's a pretty negligible problem. And so I probably would not have voted for the ID law had I been in the legislature.
All right. What's your thought on the decision, the law, and its proximity to the election, James Jimmy Boy Edming?
I think it's been long overdue.
Sorry about that. Go for it.
Oh, it's been long overdue. You can't get a motel room without a voter ID or without an ID card. If you're stopped by the law, you have to have an ID card. You can't rent a video at a video outlet unless you have an ID card. I don't think, as far as in Glen Flora, the pollsters there and the gals working at the and the guys working at the polls know everybody. But it's like when the recall was on Governor Walker, they found places where people had went around and signed documents that for this recall in numerous places, and with an ID or something that you could do that definitely would have made that had cleared that up a lot. But I like the ID card. As far as the problem of getting it, all you have to do is go down to the driver's license examiner and get it. It's free, so nobody can say that they don't have money to buy it. It's a process that I think is absolutely long overdue, and I'm glad it's going to be here.
All right, with that, let's go back to the phones. We've got our second call of the hour. This call is coming from Sheldon, and Nancy is on the air. Nancy, thanks so much for calling in.
Yes, my question has to do with the lack of broadband in this part of the state. If you talk about business development and entrepreneurs being able to start business, we do not have broadband in this part of the state because Scott Walker turned that money away. And so I'm curious, Mr. Edming, what you would do to make sure that businesses and like yours can flourish if we can have access to broadband, and how you would work then with this legislature that is against money to support that.
Thanks so much for the call, Nancy, and the question. James Edming.
Well, Nancy, that's a good question. However, broadband is a private company. You've got AT&T, Verizon, and all the different ones that have this. And I don't believe that the government or the state of Wisconsin, we're not in the internet business and we're not in cell phone business. That's private industry, and that's why Governor Walker he didn't turn that down to be mean to us and to make it mean and tough on us to try to make a living. It's what we need, what you need to do and what I need to do is get a hold of AT&T and Verizon and say, hey guys, wake up. We need this. But that's not the job of the legislature.
If I could follow up though, the argument has been made that, you know, these companies that offer these services, they don't have the incentive. It doesn't make economic sense for them to run cables to these rural parts. So the argument is, why not offer a little incentive through grants or whatnot? Even Governor Walker has offered some broadband grants this year.
You could get by, you know, with something like that. But it has to be, if AT&T doesn't have enough customers, they're not going to put any. They're a free enterprise system, and when you start putting government into the middle of a free enterprise system, and we've got a lot of that right now as businessmen, but. And I can feel it. I know exactly what she's talking about and what we have. I'm with AT&T, and what I have to do is get more A&T customers out there to get AT&T to put some more of this in.
All right, Richard Pulcher, your thoughts on broadband and what the state legislature can do to try to get more access, or should they do to get more access to rural areas in the 87th?
They should do whatever they can. We do need government support for businesses that would offer a public service and are not financially self-sustaining. So Jimmy Boy Edming's business can flourish if it has broadband. It at least can be a little bit easier. We do need communication with the outside world. We're not going to grow if we don't have communication with the outside world. We need to be able to talk to people who might be providing something for our business or our home, and we need to be able to have contact with people that we would want to sell to.
Jimmy Boy, you'd like to respond.
Okay, and another response to that, at the convenience store in Glen Flora, we have CenturyTel. CenturyTel has, I think, a pretty decent I just got a card the other day for $20. You can get wireless internet into your house. And it's true. In Glen Flora today, you could run a business that travels around the world. You don't have to rely on people coming through your door. But I believe that CenturyTel is doing a pretty decent job Is it the finest in the world? I don't know. It's the best that I know of, because that's the only one I know of.
All right. The number to call in is 800-228-5615 to ask the candidates for the 87th Assembly District questions or offer some comments. That, again, is 800-228-5615. I'm joined in studio by James Jimmy Boy Edming. He's a Republican from Glen Flora, and Richard Pulcher. He's a Democrat from Lublin. They're both trying to secure the 87th Assembly District seat that's been held for 12 years by Mary Williams. She's retiring from the state legislature, so now we've got two newcomers that are battling it out. 800-228-5615. Richard Pulcher, I want to ask you a question. You've mentioned a few times that you've been a union member and a union steward. What are your thoughts on Act 10? And if elected to the legislature, would you try to repeal it?
Probably. Because Act 10 took about a 10%, 9% cut out of my pay. And I don't think that's unusual. The idea that government can come in and tell a worker that he's going to be making less next year than he did this year. Now, if there was a 9% of your total income tax on the wealthy, you would hear screaming that would never end.
But, you know, there was the argument that employee unions should not, that public workers should not be able to have employee unions, in effect, that they'd be, you know, negotiating against the taxpayers.
Well, when you negotiate, you're not negotiating against anyone. The idea that unions are anti-business is just wrong. Unions want their employers to thrive. The idea of anyone being against anyone is generally employers don't want unions. But that's changing. I just went to a union meeting here about a week or so ago, and the union was growing because employers were not able to keep employees. They would work, and they would spend a great deal of money getting these employees up to speed. But if they were there 6 months or whatever, a better job offer would come along. And then they would leave with the money for training these people gone. And so these employers were asking the union, what can we do to keep them, to keep the workers here? And the simple answer is, you just ask them. Well, that's what unions do. Unions give employees a voice.
And Jimmy Boy Edming, the last time you were on this program for the primary forum that we had, you were a supporter for Act 10. I imagine you still are today. And do you think it should be repealed or even could be repealed?
I think that Act 10, and we dealt with, I'm on the hospital board, and we dealt this with our hospital employees. And I hate to see anyone have to take a cut in pay. But Act 10 was something that had to happen. I mean, the state of Wisconsin, and I'm going to use the word was, the state of Wisconsin was broke. And when you're broke, you have to make changes. And to make a change, this is what Governor Walker decided to do. And was it absolutely the right thing to do? I'm not sure. But it was something that had to be done, and it had to be done now. And I don't think anyone is necessarily down on Skid Row because of it. It's like our employees at the hospital. We gave them a wage cut, and then I believe we've given them one since then. So eventually, when you're running a business and you're losing, she's going south, you have to make some changes, and eventually you'll get your employees back up to where they were before. So I don't look at this that this is going to be forever and ever and ever. Amen.
If I could follow up on that, you know, there's been some news that a projection by a nonpartisan fiscal bureau that looks over the state's finances projects that next budget there's going to be a projected $1.8 billion budget deficit. So there have been some discussion, or there's been some comments out there that, well, now, you know, the last budget deficit was eliminated by eliminating some of the bargaining rights for public employees except for firefighters and police. Do you think that's the next step? Do you think that those public employees should be asked to take the same sacrifice? Jimmy Boy.
If they have to, they have to. And I'm on the outside looking in, so I can't tell you exactly what that was going to be. But I hate to see anyone have to take a cut in pay.
Gotcha. And Richard Pulcher, thoughts about that? There have been suspicions, I guess, for a while that maybe that's going to be the next step, or that even Wisconsin might head towards a right-to-work state.
Well, of course, the Republicans would like to head Wisconsin to a right-to-work state. Let me add this to Wisconsin was broke. When Governor Doyle took office, Wisconsin had a Standard & Poor's credit rating of AA-. When Scott Walker took office, Wisconsin had a Standard & Poor's credit rating of AA, and it still does. The idea that Scott Walker has made the state more fiscally sound just doesn't add up to outside visitors.
Since we're on the topic of finances, of money, I'm going to ask you both about campaign finance. Last month, the federal court decision struck down Wisconsin's $10,000 individual campaign donation limit for every state office, except governor, I believe. Now, any one person can give as much money as they like to any campaign in Wisconsin. Is this a win for political speech, or is it a loss for those concerned about the growing influence of money in politics? And I'll start with you, Jimmy Boy.
Well, the $10,000 cap on that, looking at this from a legislative representative to the assembly is not even anywhere near what it would cost to run a campaign on the Senate, mm-hmm. state Senate, and compare that to the U.S. Senate. I mean, it just dwarfs us. And you get that into the presidential race, it's a number that's unheard of. And I'd like to see some campaign reform, but I'm not sure if that's exactly how I'd like to see it. But it was something in our race. I don't think it affects us a great deal. It's not going to affect me anyway.
You're not getting any $10,000 plus donations.
I don't get any $10,000 donations, regardless what they say about the Republicans sticking money into it. I don't get that kind of money.
Richard Pulcher, your thoughts on the elimination of this cap for individual campaign donations? You think it's good for political speech, which, you know, it was ruled in the Supreme Court that speech is money, or is it just adding to the spiraling costs of elections?
I think the citizens of Wisconsin are being hurt by it.
How so?
Well, because what you need to do is get your message out. Much of the campaign rhetoric is anti, and it's misleading. And that's what we need to strive for, is open and honest discussion of the issues, where honest differences of opinion are out in the open. We don't need more campaigns saying he's a schmuck or they're a liar. What we need is real issues and real differences explained to the voters. And all this money that's being spent on these campaigns, I really question as to how effective it is.
Wisconsin's 87th Assembly District is the focus of this special Wisconsin Public Radio Election Forum. Join us with your questions for the candidates, James Edming, a Republican from Glen Flora, and Richard Pulcher, a Democrat from Lublin. The number to call in and ask your question or offer your comment is 800-228-5615. 1-800-228-5615. We'll be back in just a bit with more from the 87th State Assembly District Candidate Forum on Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Rich Kramer. Today we're bringing you a Wisconsin Public Radio election special featuring the candidates in the expansive 87th Assembly District, which spans more than 100 miles from the northwest corner of the district in Hayward, southeast to just outside Marathon City. To the southeast, including Ladysmith and Medford as well. Richard Pulcher is the Democrat from Lublin. James Edming is the Republican from Glenflora. You can call in with your questions or comments for the candidates. The number is 1-800-228-5615. We've got open phone lines, 800-228-5615. I want to talk about trade agreements. This isn't something that's come up in many of the forums that we've done, but I think each of you might have had some discussions about trade agreements like NAFTA and all that. But on a more local level, Governor Walker and members of the legislature and the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation have been aggressively pursuing trade agreements with countries like China and others in Central and South America. Do you see this as a benefit to the state, or do you see it as maybe another chance for jobs to be exported? And I'll start with you, Richard Pulcher.
Well, it depends. There's a lot of stuff in these trade agreements are good. The Korea-U.S. trade agreement is about 900 pages long. I have a real problem with only one word in that agreement. And it is in the investor protections part of the agreement. Governments are not allowed to nationalize a company, and I'm in full agreement with that. But there's one word, indirect nationalization, which basically means that if for any reason there is a government action that causes the company to make less than they expected to, they can sue for the entire amount that they expected to make during the lifetime of that investment. This is just wrong. And it scares me because we should not be inviting these people in who have more rights and investment protections than our local businesses.
James Jimmy Boy Edming, let me ask you your thoughts on the state pushing hard for trade agreements with other countries, or at least trying to get exports from Wisconsin going overseas.
I believe that trade agreements with other countries is very important to our economy. However, the trade agreements cannot be that things are brought into Wisconsin in the 87th. It's that we get to ship stuff out of here, and that has to go both ways, and that's very important. I think it's part of our industry.
We got some callers, or we have some callers on the line now, and we'll go to Athens, and we've got Tony on the line. Tony, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Thanks for taking my call. I'm a small business owner in Athens, Wisconsin.
All right.
And I feel like one of the most significant impacts of Obamacare was the Medicaid expansion, which Wisconsin and the governor turned down. It would have a significant impact on my own family's business and its costs. Can the candidates please tell me where they stand on the potential acceptance or denial or continued denial of the Medicaid expansion?
Sure thing. Thanks so much. Appreciate the question, Tony. James Edming, what are your thoughts on Governor Walker's decision to not accept the federal expansion of Medicaid?
I believe why the governor didn't accept that is once you take the bait, it's like a grant. A lot of times you take a grant, and there's a lot of red tape that comes with it. And once you take it, you're sucked into it, and you're going to have a hard time getting out of it. The trouble with our here in Wisconsin is that Medicaid pays 29. I think it's 29.9% of the bill, of the actual bill, and we the taxpayers have to pick up the rest. And what we need to do is ratchet that up a little bit. I did sign, and I'm very proud to say that I did. I signed the Taxpayers' Bill of Rights, which says I will not increase your taxes. I'll jiggle and joggle stuff around on there, and I believe with this Medicaid issue, that's what we have to do. But as far as Governor Walker taking that bait from the federal government, the best government is the least government, and I believe that Governor Walker and I agree on that one.
Richard Pulcher, your thoughts on the decision not to take Medicaid expansion money, and there are calls continually from counties and from people all over, mostly on the Democratic side of the aisle, for that money to be accepted.
Yes, I believe it should have been accepted. We're spending more and covering fewer people. It just makes no sense.
Jimmy Boy.
And then if I could add, on the way in this morning, I was listening to the radio. this Affordable Care Act, we to administer this only and on the website. We've spent $2.2 billion with a B trying to implement this. If you took that money from that and put it into Medicaid, I think part of our trouble would have been eliminated itself.
Second caller, we've got calls coming in right now. We can probably take a couple more if you dial in at 800-228-5615. Reminder, this is the 87th State Assembly District. We're having a candidate forum with the candidates running for that seat. James Jimmy Boy Edming is a Republican from Glen Flora, and Richard Poulter is a Democrat from Lublin. Now we go to Eau Claire, and we're talking to Bob. Bob, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Good morning. Thank you both. Thank you all for being there answering questions. I was struck by the conversation about the state budget deficit, and I'm sitting here wondering, what is the true cause of the deficit? Was it really state workers, or was it uncollected corporate taxes?
That's a good question. And Richard Poultry, you take your first stab at that one. It's a big question.
It's a big question. And it doesn't have a simple answer. You know, Wisconsin has over a $15 billion debt. Now, money spent on administering the debt is taking money from taxpayers and sending it off to bankers. Makes no sense at all. When we thought we may have a surplus, the money should have been spent to pay off the debt. And you have to balance taxes with services. I did not sign the Taxpayers' Bill of Rights because I don't want to tie the hands of the legislature to deal with the problems as they come up. We don't know what our problems are going to be next year. As a union steward, we never made an agreement that was more than 3 years long because our view into the future got a little foggy after that. And so what we need to do is deal with taxation and spending and how it affects the business climate and how it affects our people. And so a simple thing where I'm not going to raise your taxes doesn't make any sense. For 16 years, I've been the operator of the Lublin wastewater treatment plant. When I took over, everybody thought that we had a 20-year note. It was 18 years old when I took over. They thought that in 2 years, we would have our debt paid off, and we wouldn't have to have a sewer bill anymore. Well, when I was digging around in the stuff, I found out that it was a 40-year loan and that the village had been paying mostly interest. And at the end of 40 years, they would have a balloon payment, which they would have to get another loan in order to pay off. The village board, once they realized the situation, they increased the sewer rates modestly, aggressively paid off the principal, instead of having the loan with a bank that nobody knew of and was far away, they refinanced it with the Gilman State Bank. Well, now, through those efforts, we have no debt, and we have a tidy sum put aside in case we have an emergency. So raising taxes or lowering taxes isn't really as important as being fiscally sound.
And James Jimmy Boy Edming, let me ask you, you know, the question, if I could summarize it, is, while state workers were asked to pay their share, there's a lot of discussion about corporations, you know, pulling all these tricks in order to not pay as much or any state income tax or taxes in the state or in the country. So I guess the question was, who is responsible if it's as easy as pinning it on two different sides, state employees or taxes, tax-dodging corporations?
Well, my grandma used to have a saying that holds true. And she said, the only thing that makes you poor is you spent too much. And in this last 4 years, our legislature has tried to do what they could do to hold the lid down. But prior to this, it was just just go, 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 and spend, 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 and I'm going to go there to help take care of this. Grandma was right. The only thing that makes you poor is you spend too much money.
Well, let's take our probably the final call of the hour, and we're going to go to Al, I believe, in Ladysmith. Al, you're on the line. Thanks so much for calling in. What's on your mind?
I'd like to know what the candidates think about the current private school voucher program. Voucher money is tax money and is being spent to, sent to private schools that don't have to account for it, as do public schools. Governor Walker wants to expand this program. What is your opinion?
All right, thanks for that. Let's go to Richard Poulter. And there's been talk of expanding the voucher program statewide. Do you think that it's necessary for the 87th?
No, I do not. Actually, I think the voucher system should be abolished. There is no reason to burden our taxpayers with money spent on private schools. If you want a private school, put your money in the private school. Don't give it to a candidate who's going to put public money into a private school.
Jimmy Boyedming, your thoughts on expanding the voucher program possibly statewide and into the 87th?
I think when it comes to private schools and voucher schools and the like that, that is absolutely up to mom and dad and the kids at the kitchen table, and that's something that should not be determined by legislators.
Should public funding be you know, the argument for the voucher program is that it gives people a choice when there's a failing district, so should public funding be going towards that choice?
When I went to high school, I went to Flambeau High School. This last semester, I went to the UW Barron County for a class to try to finish up my degree. No one told me that I had to go to Madison or I had to go to Superior or wherever. It was absolutely my choice where I wanted to go. And there again, if wherever you want to send your kids is the way to go.
I got a question that just popped up today, based on something that happened today. Today it was announced that the 5th Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin Family Planning Health Center in the state, not anywhere near the 87th, but still, it closed, and Planned Parenthood says it's a direct result of Governor Walker's elimination of state funding to that group. So, Jimmy Boyle, I'll start with you, and then I'll go to Richard Poulter, but should the state offer grant funding to a group like Planned Parenthood for what have you?
When you look at Planned Parenthood, the name sounds very nice. It sounds like it's a place, you know, that you could go for birth control and stuff like that. What Planned Parenthood is, cut the chase. That is where you can go and you can get abortions, and no, we should not be sticking money into an organization like that. I am pro-life.
All right. Thank you for that. Richard Poulter, your thoughts?
I think that Planned Parenthood is a very good organization. And when we're dealing with women's health and family issues, the government should stay out of it. I think the laws that we have governing abortion are adequate. And, yeah, I do think that we should promote Planned Parenthood.
All right, gentlemen, we are just about out of time. If I could get a very briefly from you why the voters should pick you come November 4th. Jimmy Boyedming, we've got about a minute, so if you could.
Okay, I'll wrap this up quick.
Okay.
Why the voters of the 87th should vote for me is my past record and my past history. For 42 years, I've been a businessman. I started Edming Oil Company in Glen Flora. I started Jimmy Boy Pizza. I started the original Oven Works Pizza. And I also own a company called Edming Manufacturing. Like I said earlier, I've cut checks on the front side, not the back side. I know what it is to balance a budget, how to live within my means, and that's exactly what I'm going to take to Madison along with my business experience of how to help people create jobs.
All right, Jimmy Boy, thanks for that. Richard Poulter, why should the voters choose you come November 4th?
Because some of the people I want to help most are people who are just like my opponent. People wanting to create jobs and create businesses in rural northern Wisconsin. And we can do that by promoting banking, where we bank local, hire local, invest local. We need to be wary of outside groups coming in, especially groups that can sue our local governments if they try to regulate them. That's it.
All right, gentlemen, thank you so much for the discussion. That's our time. I'd like to thank our candidates running for the 87th State Assembly District for their discussion this hour. Richard Pulcher is the Democrat in the race. He hails from Lublin. And James Jimmy Boy Edming is the Republican in the race. He hails from Glen Flora. I'd like to thank all who helped out putting this program together as well, including Jim Oliver, Dean Kallenbeck, Henry Lippold, and our colleagues at WPR's Wausau Studios. And a very, very big thanks to our dedicated WPR audience. I'm Rich Kramer. Thanks for listening.